Hello, Mr. Peterson?
Speaking.
Yes, it's Robert Ford calling. How are you, sir?
I'm just fine, thank you. How about you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for giving me this time today. It's greatly, very much greatly appreciated.
I looked it up in the books that I have. Do you have a picture of him?
I do.
I have a picture that was put in the paper of him.
Thank you. I would like to get that picture if I could.
I'll try to get a copy made of it and send it to you.
Thank you very much.
He was 23 years old when he joined the Army, or at some time or other before he was killed.
Yes.
And the only thing I have, his regimental number is H6113. Do you have that?
I do, sir. So, yes, I do. And I was told by a historian that he was the 113th member to sign up for the Winnipeg Grenadiers, and that he was very early. He signed up on the 6th of September, 1939.
The same day that I signed up.
Is that right?
My number was 6082.
6082. Wow. So you were even earlier than my Uncle Frank.
Yeah, well, but he was 5 years older than me.
I see.
18 when I joined.
Yes.
But I was in the militia before the war, in the Drummond Bugle Corps.
Very good.
And I was one of them, I reported into battalion headquarters on about the 2nd or 3rd of September, and I was put to work immediately and doing different jobs for different people. And I probably had met your uncle. But I can't say, I must have seen him sometime, rather, because I was in Jamaica, too, of course.
Yes, he was with Y-Force in Jamaica, I believe it was called, and C-Force was when he went to Hong Kong.
That's exactly that, yeah. And there were 1,977 of us left at the Port of Vancouver on October the 27th, 1941, and 1,976 of us arrived in Hong Kong on November the 16th. One of the Royal Rifles that were part of Sea Force died on the voyage there, and his body was committed to the deep.
I did not know that.
And 3 weeks after we arrived in Hong Kong, we were at war with Japan. Now, the propaganda when we landed in Hong Kong was that the Japanese would never, ever attack the British Empire, let alone the United States. And Hong Kong consists of two parts, the island itself with the capital of Victoria, and what was known as the New Territories, that was on mainland, with China on the one side, and the harbor, of course, on the other. And the capital of that was Kowloon. And that's where our first line of defense was. It was called the Gin Drinkers Line. And it was supposed to hold any size force for approximately 3-4 weeks. It fell in 36 hours. And the propaganda when we arrived in Hong Kong was that, as I was saying before, that the Japanese wouldn't dare for anything. Part of that propaganda was that there was 5,000 troops on the border of Hong Kong and China and the New Territories, They were poorly led, poorly disciplined, poorly trained, and they couldn't fight at night because of poor eyesight. That was altogether actually just propaganda. When the Japanese attacked, they attacked with 30,000 well-trained veterans who had taken part in the siege and rape of Nanking. Have you ever heard of that, Buzz?
Yes, I have, sir. Yes, I have. Understand.
In the book that I have a Frank died anywhere between the 8th of December and the 25th of December, which would be the 7th year and the 24th year also. But the 7th and the 8th were passed across the international date line between Hong Kong and Pearl Harbor.
My wife and I were fortunate enough to visit the Saiwan Bay Memorial in 2014 and to pay my respects to my Uncle Frank. He was very, very close to my father, and I grew up hearing stories but not knowing the man. And it really meant a lot to my wife and I to go there and, you know, pay our respects and see the memorial, see where you guys, you know, fought and suffered.
Oh, yeah.
And the only information we really have, and we were lucky enough to have had a guide who lived on the island, an ex-British soldier, and then policeman who stayed in Hong Kong. And he said that my Uncle Frank was part of the West Brigade under Lawson.
That's right.
And he showed us where they landed, and you can help me with the pronunciation, Awatea, the ship.
New Zealand, and that was a luxury liner from New Zealand that was turned into a troop ship. And Awatea, that's right.
Because he showed us the dock where you landed. He showed us the Peninsula Hotel where I believe it was Lieutenant General Maltby took the salute when you guys walked down Salisbury Street.
Yeah.
And he showed us Salisbury Street and the clock tower for the train yard, which is all gone now, but the clock tower's there.
Yeah.
And then he said that my uncle was actually killed. We have the date from the government now, the 22nd of December, 41, on Mount Cameron, and that he had fought with Lawson on the Wong Ni Chong Gap.
That's right.
And then
Jardine's Lookout.
And we're not sure about that, but I don't know. We don't know any details after that. They said that there was no real diaries kept because they didn't want that to fall into the hands of the Japanese.
Yeah.
And his body was never found, my Uncle Frank.
Oh, that's right.
They said that they were either cremated by the Japanese or just thrown off the cliff on Mount Cameron.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if you were part of the West Brigade, if you...
Oh, I was part of... Winnipeg Grenadiers were West...
Oh, is that right?
And people of the Royal Canadian Royal Rifles of Canada from Quebec were the Eastern Regiment. We were the Western Regiment.
I see.
And there was 100 service personnel that from Barbados. state headquarters.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And of that 1,977 of us that left Canada, there's 1,960 that passed away.
Wow.
Today, as far as I know, there's 17 of us left. There's 15 members of the Royal Rifles of Canada out of the 962 of them went to Hong Kong. And I'm the only Winnipeg Grenadier left. And there was 915 of us. And the other one was a Signal Corps man who was attached to Brigade Headquarters. He lives on the West Coast. He's Jerry Gerard.
Wow. Well, it is indeed my privilege to have this time with you, Mr. Peterson, today. I was blessed this December with becoming the caretaker of my Uncle Frank's medals and the memorial cross that was issued to his widow. It was fortunate enough to be passed to me to keep in my care now for the next generation, but it's a treasure beyond, you know, description to me.